Good evening and welcome to the regular meeting of the Board of Directors of the Town of Discovery Bay. At this time, I'd like to call the meeting to order. If you all rise with me for the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you very much. Carol, if I have a roll call, please.
President Steele.
Here.
Vice President Graves.
I am here.
Director Pease.
Here.
Director Simon.
Here.
Director Tatro.
Here.
All here.
Thank you very much. At this time, we'll have a public comment. During the public comments, the public may address the board on any issue within the district's jurisdiction, which is not on the agenda. The public may comment on any item on the agenda that is before the board for consideration. Any person wishing to speak must come up and speak from the podium. There will be no dialogue between the board and the commenter. Any clarifying questions from the board must go through the chair. Any public comment, please? No public comment. This time we will close public comment and move on to item C, board officers' appointment and district representative committee positions. And we'll go to item one.
Okay, let's see. I would like to make a nomination.
Item one, nominate and appoint district board positions for 2013. The first position. Yep. Go ahead. Well,
Mark already spoke, so I'll have it.
Yeah.
So the president, please.
I would like to nominate Director Ray Tatro for the president's position.
Any other nominations? Nominations are closed.
Go ahead. Well, I came a little fast, wasn't prepared. I wanted to address the board on a procedural process to help eliminate into the future any type of, animosity amongst board members, not ourselves per se, but into the future. I think it's a little difficult to sit up here and try and negotiate something for who's going to be president and vice president, and next year you do this and do that, and you end up, in my opinion, maybe creating some ill will unintentionally. But for the long run, I'd like to see if we couldn't come up with a rotation process that's set into place, and therefore after each election, the board members already know when their turn to be president and vice president would take occurrence. And if the president and the board would like, I have some information I'd like to pass out and explain it in further detail.
Go ahead. Pass it out, please.
What I'm thinking about is a process. We have 48 months on the board, each of us. There's five of us. So if we were to divide that, kind of just mathematically, if we each took 9 months, the next person in line would be vice president, basically. There's 3 months remaining. If we just take a look and say, well, we have an election that takes three board members at one time. We have an election that takes two board members at one time. If we take the three-year board members and say that they are in a term of 10 months, if we add that together, you can rotate all five members through a four-year period. So the three-member board members would go for 10 months. The two-year board members would go 9 months. As far as the sequence goes, and let's assume the next election, there'll be three board seats up, whoever's elected, maybe some of the folks that are here now will be there, maybe some new members. In that particular election, the person who receives the most amount of votes, and I just title it A, B, C, D, E, would be the A person. Whoever came in second amount of votes would be B and C. The two-year elections would be a D position and an E position. Same thing, whoever had the most votes, whether it's 1 or 20 or whatever. If we were to take and rotate out the chart that I have in the back here, if we were to institute this procedure right now, and to kind of get in the rotation. The three board members would be in the rotation at this time. And the A position would have 3 months remaining. And then in April, the B person would be up, C person, etc. If we were to take the current rotation as is right now, that would mean that if we left President Steele in his current president position through from January through March, then Director Tetro would be in the B position. He would take from April 2013 through January of 2014. Director Graves would then become president in February 2014 through November of 2014. There'd be an election at that particular time. I would then fill in rotation in December of 2014 through August 2015. Director Simon would be president from September 2015 through May 2016. What this does, I think, is give the ability for new people coming on board the opportunity to be on the board for 18 to 24 months before they would become in the rotation, so that you're not going to have a new person come on the board with maybe no public experience, and through politics or gamesmanship or just, you know, friends or whatever, he becomes president, and he really isn't prepared to be the president. So this eliminates that, and it gives new board directors an opportunity to learn the system, and there's no animosity. It's set. It's done. It's over. It's pretty easy. I'd like to, you know, kind of get some comments, feedback, see if this is something the board might consider.
I think it would become, I think it would become such an issue after a while. I think with people coming and going in a case where, like, Brian Dawson left the board in the middle of the term, where he might have been president or coming up to be president. We've had, since 98, there's been a one-year term. I can tell you this is my fifth year on the board. I've served as vice president. I haven't been president. It doesn't bother me in the least. It really doesn't, because it's a symbolic position to begin with. I prefer, this is just my opinion, that they stay as a one-year term. It's been a one-year term forever. You give somebody, the year goes by so quickly when you're sitting on this board. You serve as president, you blink, it's done. And it went for 6 months or 9 months, and then the next. The other issue, to take it a step farther, is let's say we just agree to this, that you say, okay, it's fine, and then in the next election, two new board members come on that don't agree with it. And they take it right back to what it is now, and then you come on, and two guys come on and agree with you, and then take it back to this again. It'll continue to go back and forth. I personally, it's not that I'm against doing it. I think it is creating an issue that we don't need to create. I prefer to leave it just the way it is, I think. That's just my opinion. I don't know how everybody else feels.
I don't know. I understand the intent, but I don't. I really think that leaving status quo is probably just because I'm adverse to change to begin with. But I think that I think if you're having that much animosity on the board to begin, I mean to assume that that's going to be there, I can't work under that premise. So I don't. You and I had already discussed this a little bit. So I'm okay with it the way it is.
All right. Yeah, I think the status quo works pretty good right now. I don't want to complicate things any more than they are right now. So, any further discussion? Yep. I'm sorry, you made a motion. Could you repeat that motion?
I nominated Director Tetrault for the president's position.
I'll close the nomination on that. Any public comment? Close public comment. Any of you do have a second on that? I'll second that.
Doesn't need a second.
All right. All those in favor?
Aye.
And the radio.
And the radio.
I'm sorry, that was unanimous?
Yes.
President Tetro?
Okay.
Thank you.
That means you'll sit on my other side.
Oh, yes.
And I would like to thank now Director Steele for doing a great job. The last
yeah,
year.
Absolutely.
Thank
good job, Chris.
Excellent
job.
Thanks for
very
sitting
year.
In there.
You kept Kevin and I from fighting for a whole year.
Yes. Quick, get it between us.
Congratulations, President yes. Abraham.
Thank you.
Okay. Here, I got a cheat sheet for you. Here. Oh. Yes, I need one of them. Yeah. Can I go home now? Mm-hmm.
I got one of those.
All right, I'd like to open up nominations for Vice President, and I'd like to nominate Mark Simon as Vice President.
Second.
No, yeah, doesn't really
need one. We don't need a second, but thank you.
But thank you.
Any other nominations? Hearing none, nominations for Vice President are closed. All in favor?
Aye.
Okay.
You want to change seats, or should we just start
no,
next?
No, you're fine.
We can start change next time.
I've been here ever since I got on the board. I've been just, you know, like...
You're going to move over here. So you need to be at the head table.
Yes, you do.
Oh, me?
Yeah.
Yeah, we can switch.
We can do it later. I mean,
okay. Can I continue?
Yeah, you want...
Oh, wait, there's one more. There's... What do we call
no.
it?
No, it's not treasurer anymore.
No,
no, no, no. We
it's
have
President
a,
Pro Tem.
President Pro Tem. It's in the event that... the moon and the sun align, and
that's
three people are
correct.
Missing, then somebody else is the president.
I nominate Kevin Graves for that position.
Okay. All right. Any other nominations for that? Hearing none, all in favor?
Aye.
Okay, Kevin. There you go.
Okay, I'm going to be lining up the moon and the stars here.
Okay, so that now we're going to go to seat number two, appoint board members to district representative positions.
Yes, Mr. President, thank you very much, members of the board. This evening it would be appropriate for the board president to appoint those board members to the different committee representative listings that we have. The list is attached to the to the agenda.
Rick, can I interrupt you for just one second? I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. Would it be possible to bring the presentations forward and do this and say this to after? Because they're going to go on for probably, this is going to take a while to do the committees. Okay. And we've got three people standing here, gentlemen, who are going to present.
Get back out on the, they can get back on the patrol.
Yeah, they want to go back to work.
We could do that. That's no problem with me. So we're going to... just skip to the area of presentations, and we'll call up. We have to order. Sheriff first, please. Oh, is it?
Happy New Year, everybody.
Happy New Year.
Thank you.
We know that because of all the fireworks that went off for like 4 hours straight the other night.
Yes. I'll just start punching. Thankfully, would be enough.
My cat had to give me a tranquilizer.
Really? Well, then you felt better. You slept through the rest of them, so you'll be all right.
Yeah, problem was I was out. We were at a party.
Well, just be thankful we recovered the other fireworks. And, they didn't get a chance to shoot off, so.
Well, what's in the bag?
We have a little deal, a supplier later on. That's the report for the month. It's you see two sides. Front side, nothing really outstanding. The only one that's sort of outstanding, a strong arm robbery, which is kids versus kids. It's unfortunate. It shouldn't happen, but again, I want to use it as an example. You know, we need to be responsible for ourselves, too, because there are bad people out there. Mm-hmm. Kids were walking on the trail late at night. It's about 10:30, 11 o'clock at night. No lights, no parents. And, I mean, I'd like to live in that world, too, where we can do that. But unfortunately, we don't. It's unfortunate they're victims. They were able to give some descriptions. The detectives are working the case, see if we can find it, because it is kids versus kids. So usually in those environments, somebody knows somebody. Or the kids tend to talk or post things on Facebook or YouTube, and we tend to find it. So the detectives are working the case, but I also wanted to emphasize that, you know, any parents or, you know, people, teenagers, that you know, if they can drive, better that they're in a car, if they're going places, and if they have to walk, probably late at night is not the best thing. Even for adults, it's probably not the best idea.
A strong arm indicates, was there a weapon involved?
No, that's the difference. The way we classify things, they're either armed or strong armed. Okay. And it's as simple as give me your money, that's considered strong arm. Okay. So it's it, which is basically what happened. It was, you know, give us your phones and your money, and they handed it over. So no one was hurt, fortunately.
You're talking like 16-year-olds, 15, 16?
16 to 18-year-olds. Yeah. So, again, I don't want to, you know, I hate blaming the victims because that's not what I'm trying to do, but I want to also, it's a good learning thing for parents that it's not always safe out there. And they were, and the kids were doing some of the right things. There were three of them together, so it was a small group, but still, you know, we have to be careful. The second side is probably the more disturbing of them, just because if you look, if you flip the page over, it's all of the, a lot of property crimes, as you notice. Some of them, they're not misnomers, but they appear to be more than they are. The petty thefts from vehicles are actually license plates. Somebody stole license plates off the car. So, again, it stinks because then you got to go through the DMV hassle, but at least you're not really out anything in that regard. The petty theft from building and petty theft others, I'm kind of skipping here, I apologize, I'll go back up. Those, are you've seen it on the news, those were the UPS packages stolen from front porches. I'd like to think those, I mean, I'd like to think the numbers are down from what they would have been. I had extra deputies floating around. We can't just follow the UPS driver and the FedEx driver and the mailman, mail person all over all the time. So hopefully we made an impact, and the three that are listed are the only three that happened. But, you know, it's hard to say. But that's where those came from. And then up top, the auto burglaries, unfortunate, but again, can't leave things in your car in plain view, even if you lock it. That's all three of them, same scenario. They left Christmas presents. One was a purse and two were Christmas presents, just sitting on the seats. Figure, well, it's in my driveway and I'll just lock my car, it'll be safe. And again, I'd like to live in that world too, but we don't. You can't do that. The residential burglaries, those, we got some fingerprints off of a couple of them. We got some good descriptions. Those are probably the most troubling because there wasn't any obvious rhyme or reason to them. Like the autobergs, I can say, don't leave your stuff in plain view. Yep. Those people breaking in, one through a side garage door, and three through back doors, one through a sliding glass and two through a door kind of thing in the back. No rhyme or reason. It appears to be teenage-type things because it didn't look professional enough to be someone who's been doing this for a while. But hopefully we've got, with some neighbor descriptions and some fingerprints, we'll get some leads on that one. Those are probably the most troubling. And again, they tend to jump, one, because it's the holiday season, and two, if there are teenagers involved, they're out of school, and our crimes tend to jump a little bit. So I'm hoping for January stats, we're back down to normal. So that's sort of my summary, if you will, for the property crimes. The question? Yes?
Yeah, no, it's okay. No eyes in the back of your head?
Nope, not this time. My hair's getting too long.
Do you have any knowledge of any other issues along the Safeway pathway there due to inefficient lighting? This is the first encounter.
No, there have been. This is the most serious, but there have been other issues of. Sometimes it's usually kids versus kids, so we don't usually get a lot of reports because they don't want to tell on each other. But we've had reports of fights and vandalisms, although there isn't much to vandalize back there. But, you know, sort of the general juvenile delinquency type of things on that trail. Again, this is the most serious that we've had so far, but there have been juvenile type of things that we tend to get in the parks, too. That sort of the drug use, the smoking marijuana, that sort of stuff. The problem is with the trail, it's not lit, so if we show up on the land, they run the other way, or they run into the fields, and it's hard to catch them. It's the same issue we've had with the parks, too. We show up at one end of the park, and they run out the other end. So yes, that's a problem. Lighting would probably help. It's not as with anything, it's not 100% guaranteed, but you know, if that could be done, there might be some improvement there.
How do they do with drunk drivings over the holiday?
I'll have to defer on that one because we generally don't they do it for us. We, if we catch them, we turn them over. So I'll leave that for CHP to answer. But save your question, and they'll be happy to answer.
Okay. Any questions? Other questions?
I'm good. Thank you.
Okay. Okay. Well, thank you
very much.
Thanks, Adrian.
CHP, please.
Eric Brewer, the CHP, has promised. I worked out here today since it was the meeting specifically. I've worked out here a few days in between since the last meeting as well. Today I wrote 17 tickets, all speed. Almost all of them were on Newport at Beacon, and I think I wrote two on Clipper. All the speeds were over 40 miles an hour in the 25 zone, and one, I forget the name of the company, is your water people.
Veolia?
Yes. So
40 plus?
Yeah, he was 43. So I didn't think it'd be that good because school's out, but it was.
That good. I like the way he puts that. Depends on what you think it is.
So for the month of December, the CHP made three DUI arrests here in Discovery Bay.
Good.
We investigated five traffic collisions and made one arrest of a hit-and-run driver. I don't have the number for all the DUI stats. I just didn't think to do that. But they were up significantly over this holiday period. But I don't have the grand total.
Was it pretty quiet here?
Here in Discovery Bay?
Yeah.
You know, I didn't hear of anything out here. I was working in Central County, but I didn't hear of anything major going on. Not to say there couldn't have been when I wasn't working or what have you.
Up significantly between November and December, up significantly from the previous December to this December?
No, up significantly during the holiday maximum.
Okay, of this year, okay.
Yes.
Okay.
So it'd be from just before Christmas through this past weekend.
Roger.
But those numbers were up also, as they are every year, because we send out extra patrols. Mm-hmm. We get a grant from the National Traffic Highway Safety Administration to do DUI overtime patrols. So those numbers, of course, are going to go up because we send out a bunch of extra officers on overtime to look specifically for that. So, but nothing was significant for Discovery Bay with these numbers I have for the month of December itself. That doesn't seem too high to me. That's a whole lot else. The intersection J4 and Highway 4, since they've redone that, we're getting a lot of complaints about the, if you're northbound on J4, taking a right turn there. Caltrans put up red arrows there, and you cannot turn right on a red arrow, period.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people seem to forget that from back when they were studying for the driving test.
Mm-hmm.
So in addition to that, they've decided to add the signs. You could get a ticket without a sign being there because it's a red arrow, but they've went through the additional task and money of putting the signs up as well. And we're enforcing that pretty heavy right now because we've had a couple of wrecks there already. There's traffic coming eastbound now. There's two lanes there, and they're going straight through.
Mm-hmm.
And it's pretty harrowing to try to make that right turn, which is why they constructed it like that.
I'm sorry, Chris Graham.
I said I have people turning behind me now. I'll be right for my turn.
Yeah.
I just got through.
They go right behind me.
Yeah, because they'll jump on that right shoulder, but that right shoulder's painted. You cannot drive on that. And if I catch people doing that, they get two violations. One for the red arrow and one for passing on the shoulder now.
It's crazy.
All of these people live in Discovery Bay. All of them. And that intersection's been changed since like August, I want to say.
Mm-hmm.
So they've had enough time to kind of get acclimated to it a little bit. So.
Well, the job was coming out of yesterday.
I just pulled out of the garage.
So shoulder.
I like the U-turns too. You know, amazing, right in front of Safeway and get through the dirt medians. Crazy.
On that no turn on the red, is there a reason Caltrans didn't, because it seemed to be a lot of boom up in there, to make an egress line? Lane going into that? The
because they
lane?
Don't want people to turn right at all until it turns green. And I'm not an engineer, and I can't tell you what they're thinking, but I can tell you the way it is now, because there's two lanes going eastbound that go straight through, they shouldn't have a merge there, because nonetheless, if a car's doing the speed limit 55 and someone tries to just merge into that, and that car's got nowhere to go if there's a car next to it in the one lane to their left. The speeds are just too fast. So I know why it's not a right turn on red for sure. I don't know why they decided to make it two lanes that go straight through. But
right.
Now
right.
that that's done, there's no going back.
No, so they don't have stop speed limit signs in front of Discovery Bay. Is there some reason? Shouldn't those be after every lighted signal intersection should have a 55 mile an hour sign or something? I see people doing 35 coming out of Discovery Boulevard going westbound, and it's insane. You know.
So if you come out of Discovery Bay Boulevard and start heading west, you're saying there's no speed limit sign?
Yeah.
To be honest, I didn't notice. But I can call Caltrans, and they will actually get that done for me pretty fast.
That would be great if you could, thanks.
Because when I asked for those no right turn on red signs, in addition to the red arrows, they have those up in about 72 hours.
Yeah, I was going to say, because I went the one day and stopped, the next day they were up.
Yeah.
If you don't mind, I appreciate it.
Absolutely.
No, that's great. Thanks for your help.
No problem.
Okay, well, thank you.
All right, I'll see you guys
next time. Thank you very much. Thanks. Appreciate your diligence out there.
And the fire department.
Fire district.
Yeah,
I like Fire Marshal Bill. Battalion Chief Burst, East County Custom Fire. Mm-hmm. Give the annual fire report for December 2012. We had 56 medical calls, 6 structure fires. Wintertime, get an uptick in the actual structure fires. 0 vehicle fires, 0 vegetation fires, dumpster fires were down to 1, 7 vehicle accidents, several fatalities over the month of December, 1 fire alarm, 1 hazardous condition, 2 smoke investigations and 2 odor investigations, 1 illegal burn and 2 public service. December was the month of the adult parent locking their child in a car. Mm. So we stayed the same for 79 calls for the month of December from November.
Questions?
No.
How was Five Guys the other day? Good? Was
yours as good as mine? Mushrooms on the burger. No good.
Okay.
That was easy one.
That was easy.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Happy New Year.
Okay.
I have a question for AJ before he goes.
Yes.
Go ahead.
Okay. AJ, was there a suicide on Discovery Point about a week ago? Or a self-inflicted injuries?
Yeah.
There was an attempted one, yes.
There was one.
Oh, there was one?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay, there was, huh?
Okay.
Right on the end of Discovery Point?
Yes.
Okay, thank you.
Okay.
Yeah. Here, kitty, kitty.
Really?
You're kidding.
I haven't seen him for years.
Yeah.
All right, is there anything from the East Contra Costa Fire Protection District?
We have not had a meeting since our last meeting, so there's nothing to report. There is a meeting Monday night, though.
Okay. And I understand that the county isn't here, so we'll skip that, and we'll go back to C2, which is... yeah.
Thank you, Mr. President. This is the time that the board was utilized to appoint their board members to the various district committee positions and serve over the course of the next year. The board president, pursuant to our bylaws, state that the board president makes those appointments at the confirmation by the entire board. You have that list in front of you.
I do.
And I've got a list, and we are ready to take copious notes.
Okay, we're going to start. I'll just go from the top and just work my way down. So the top one is the advisory committee that currently has Kevin Graves and Chris Steele.
I'd like to stay on that, please, yeah.
Okay, we'll keep that as the same. Next, we have the code enforcement, which Director Simon is... the number one, and Director Madison was the alternate, so is there someone who would like to be on that?
If I may, I'd be happy to switch to the alternate. I don't know, Bill, if this is something you're interested in.
Code enforcement?
Well, I mean, it's a nice committee to be on. I've got a couple others. I'd prefer to be the main person. Whether that happens or not, we'll see. But I don't have a problem being the primary. Yeah.
Okay.
I'm going to switch to the alternate.
Yeah, that's fine. Okay. He's writing notes over there, so that's good. Okay, special districts, I guess.
It's a once-a-year meeting, isn't it, Rick?
Yes.
Is it?
I'm okay with
you
that.
You can go. You can attend their quarterly meetings if you wish, but there's one
election
annually.
Yeah.
That's correct.
Okay.
And that, and if I'm not mistaken, that is the president is required to make the vote at the meeting.
Yes.
But another board member can be.
Why is it? Really? Okay. Why didn't we change that, I wonder? I wonder why that doesn't
say board
president.
You were president at the time.
Well, I wasn't last year.
I know. I guess we just left it.
Oh, okay.
That's fine. I mean,
it doesn't make any difference to me.
It's a one-year for appointment of officers and to, if I believe, Vice President or Director Graves, if I'm not mistaken, it is to reappoint the LAFCO.
It is to appoint the CSD LAFCO,
and
which is done per recommendation of the board and then got carried forward.
Right.
Okay, I'll do that.
Who's going to be alternate?
You want to be the alternate?
I can be the alternate.
Okay. The alternate was the...
Was me. That's fine.
It doesn't make any difference. Okay. If you're going to... Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. And then we go to the...
It's kind of fair.
Again, this next one is the East County Water Management Agency, and that's the board president.
The fire district.
Vice president.
Fire district.
Okay. Oh, sorry. Skip the fire district. We got Kevin. You want to stay on?
Absolutely.
This? And Mark is the alternate. Okay. Then we'll go to the one that I tried to go to wrongly here. Water Management Agency. That's pretty much locked in as the president and the vice president, so that stays the same. LAFCO liaison.
I'll take that as a
I want to take that primary.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Yeah. I want to be primary, but that's fine. I'll be alternate.
That's okay. Leave it at that. Police services. Is myself and Mr. Simon. I mean, I leave that.
That's fine.
School district, we have Chris Steele and Kevin Graves.
I'd like to keep doing that.
Yeah, I'll stay there too.
Okay.
I've got some issues.
Okay. Regional transportation, you were, that's got currently Kevin and Mr. Madison.
Were you going to say something, Bill?
Yeah, I would like to be the appointed on that one. I think transportation's an area of my concern.
Okay. I'll take secondary. Give Director Peace the primary on that.
Okay, very good. Appreciate that. Okay, so be it. And then
you just need to communicate when you're not available.
Sure.
Yeah. And we're going to go down to the board subcommittee appointments. Budget subcommittee is Mark Simon and myself.
I'd like to stay there.
I would like to keep that same. We have the communications subcommittee. Currently... Kevin is primary, and there's an opening on the secondary on that.
Actually, they're not
secondary.
Primary and secondary.
They're
just
both.
Two like board members.
They're two board members.
Equal
okay.
standing.
I wouldn't mind doing that again.
Okay.
I started out.
Okay, then you'll put Director Steele back on the communication subcommittee.
And the second one should be Chris Steele and Kevin Graves. That was changed last meeting, correct?
Yeah, it was.
Correct.
Okay.
I made that change on my notes.
Oh, the community center subcommittee? So it's Chris and Kevin. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, all right.
I was interested in that one.
There's just a tremendous amount of history that is involved in this and negotiations with not only different agencies but different.
Well, if it's history,
and we're right in the middle of it. We're right at the crux of so many decisions in that right now that to bring somebody else up to speed on that might be difficult. I personally understand. I don't want to give up the spot. I've got too much vested in it at this point in time.
That's fine.
Okay. Well, if Jim was on there, Jim, well, community center subcommittee is what we're talking about, right?
Yeah, correct. And last meeting, that was changed, although it's not reflected on this form. It was changed.
Well, it wasn't Kevin last meeting. I wasn't here. Meeting. It was
yeah.
a meeting,
meeting before that, yeah.
Prior to me being here.
Correct.
But if Jim Madison was the main guy, how did... And Chris was the main guy.
I made an motion, and we all voted on it.
No, I understand that.
Yeah.
I'll just let it go.
Okay. In Investment Oversight Committee, have Chris and Mark Simon. Any?
I have no desire to be on that committee.
If somebody else wants to have my spot, I'm just not. I don't.
I'll stay on it.
Staff, can you give us a little rundown on investment oversight and how often it meets and what it...
Well, if you recall, when we created the committee last year plus or so ago, staff brought to the board a report that we had some of our investments were maturing. And due to the fact that the interest rates were so low, we, as those investments matured, we just moved them directly into cash holdings, instead of into an investment vehicle. The reason we did so is because we were earning less on the investments than we were on the fees and the charges to invest them. So it was more, we just thought it was more prudent. So right now we are still, the economy hasn't changed and interest rates haven't gone up. In fact, they've gone down. So there's, right now we haven't, there's nothing that's been taking place as a result of that. We are still in a cash mode right now, meaning that our investments that are pooled with the county are not invested in long-term vehicle CDs, things along those natures, but they are invested in their cash fund, which is a zero interest-bearing account.
So meet as needed.
Do you want to put your name on? Do you want to be part of that or not? You're part of the budget committee also. I just wonder if that would follow suit.
I don't have a problem with doing that. I can do that.
You don't want to do it?
Yeah. I don't have.
You mean instead of Chris doesn't want to be on it?
Chris does, I think.
No, I'll be on it.
You and Chris is what I'm suggesting.
We're talking about the investment?
Yeah,
Mark
says
that.
You can take me off of here. If someone else is interested in
it. Oh, I thought you said you didn't want Mark.
No, he said he would do it.
I apologize.
So I'm going to
leave it the same. I apologize. I just didn't want to.
I'm
trying to get someone else to take it.
We're trying to show the load, you guys.
Right.
We got next, moving along, Landscaping Subcommittee, Director Simon and myself. Stay the same. And then we have Park and Recreation Subcommittee, and there's an opening on that.
That's fine, though.
Okay.
I'll work with Bill on that. That's still, that's fine.
Okay. Next, we have the
Public Financing.
Yeah.
Public Financing, isn't...
That's once a year.
That's annual.
We have to meet annually the board needs to meet annually once a year as the authority. So as we get closer to that time frame, we will get the two board members that are involved.
Well, that would be the president and the vice president.
Right.
So that will be myself and Director Simon. And then last is Water and Wastewater Subcommittee, and I will stay where I'm at.
Yeah, I really want to stay on that committee, too. That's the meat and potatoes of what we do. So I think we've worked well together on that and moving things along.
Just for my edification, how does... a new person come up to speed on some of these items. You can't go to the meeting.
You can go to the meetings.
If I may, anybody can attend the meetings. If there are two board members who are committee members and a third board member arrives, they can still remain. It's just you can't say anything.
Oh, that's fine.
Yeah. No, you can attend any meeting you want.
Well, there's a caveat to that. These are subcommittees. These are meetings between staff and two members of the board. So, for example, the...
It doesn't change anything. Mm-hmm. These are all Brown Act committees.
No, they're not. Mm-hmm.
Yes, they are. We'll talk about it later.
Okay. We'll get clarification on that.
Yeah, once the dust settles, let me know.
Yeah, I don't know either.
Well, either way, you could attend any meeting you want.
You don't want to have... I don't see how there would be a violation, but you... If you guys, let's say the two of you are making something's brought up, and you decide yes, that pump needs to be replaced, we got to bring it to the board.
Yeah, that's correct.
Well, if there were three of us there, and I heard that the pump needed to be replaced, is that the issue?
time.
You will need a motion to approve the slate.
Okay. I'll need a motion to approve this.
I would move that the slate be approved as presented by the president and notes taken by the secretary.
You get a second on that?
Second.
All right.
I'll second it.
Any comments from the audience?
I actually do have one.
Well, step up and give it to us.
It's more of a question, really. I'm Galen Ziegler, and the question is, since water and wastewater is pretty much the reason for being for the CSD board as a whole, mm-hmm. why do you have a subcommittee for water and wastewater? Isn't that the business of all of the board members?
It is. Let me. When we had a turnover of the previous vendor for that position, and we had a lot of problems, it was decided that, or at least I felt like, we should watch very carefully the new vendor. And as a matter of recourse, it's an important thing. And what this subcommittee does, staff has a meeting with the vendor, and the district engineer, and we talk about projects. So it's just keeping a more close look at it, and then of course anything that has to be voted on goes to the main board. So I've been doing that since I've been on the board, and I think it's very vital that we continue to do that. So that's where it started from.
And if I may,
sure.
President Petro. We also, there's also weekly meetings, and if the board attends those meetings, information can be brought back to the board by the board members, but there's also gives us a presence at the regular water wastewater meetings that occur between us and the vendor.
Yeah. Okay. So Rick can handle that for you?
I don't have any.
Okay. Just a thought.
Well, it's not a stipend meeting. If that means anything to you, I don't know.
It probably was.
I just
important.
Do it because I have a strong desire to keep in touch with that.
Oh yeah.
Anyway, okay. So after all of that, all in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Okay. 5-1. 5-1. Okay, and we have subcommittee. Any subcommittee, code enforcement, special districts?
There's been no meetings that I'm aware of.
Code enforcement was canceled last month.
Okay, so nothing on item F. We're going to go with G.
I'd like to remove G3, please.
Okay, G3 is removed.
I'd move that we accept the consent calendar as presented, except for item G3.
I'll second that.
Okay. Any public comment on the consent calendar? I'm hearing none. All in favor?
Aye.
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 Okay. Now we'll talk about number 3. And Mr. Peace.
Yeah, the question that I have is not attending the function or the district paying for a seat at the table. I'm visualize this just so I can get some information as a. Well, it's the changing of the guard, if you will. I guess it's a luncheon, and they have their election for supervisor, president, vice president. Just big version of what we just went through. I'm just a little uncomfortable with this being paid a stipend to attend that.
Well, my understanding is there is no stipend for the luncheon because it's not a Brown Act meeting. Is that correct, staff?
I believe you voted at the last meeting that it would just be covering the cost of the ticket.
And that was
that's a different. That's a different. That's state of the town's dinner.
It could be. I guess
the reorganization is a as Director Pease indicated, it's a more blown up version of what we did this evening. It's their opportunity to reorganize their board of directors or their board of supervisors, and that's taking place on Tuesday, January the 8th at 9 a.m. That is a public Brown Act meeting. It is open to the public. It's at the board chamber. Anybody can attend that. The luncheon is by invitation only, and the general public cannot attend that. You can't just go buy a ticket and go.
It's not stipendable.
So therefore, that portion of this item is not eligible for a stipend. However, the reimbursement for the meal for the cost to attend would be. Only one board member, Director Graves, received an invitation from who I'm assuming is going to be the next board chair,
Supervisor Glover.
Director Graves was invited to attend that. I hope that clears it up.
Well, so if you went to the meeting before the luncheon, you get paid for that one. You know, that's the part of it that I'm, personally.
I don't know where he's going to, are they?
Well, I don't have any plan to go
to. I think the reorganization is pretty important.
That's not when he's going to it, then it's a moot point.
Yeah, but just
what we receive a notice and invitation, and it's and we generally staff would generally put this on if the board member wants to attend it, pursuant to the government code 61047. Mm-hmm. It requires board authorization to authorize the board member's presence if there is a stipend that will be paid for that.
Yeah, just so I can let the rest of the board members know kind of how I feel. I think it's well spent time of ourselves to go to meetings that we're going to have input, try to influence the discussion for the betterment of the town, et cetera, and I think those should be stipend kinds of meetings. Ceremonial types of meetings, the Chamber of Commerce and those types of things, I find it very difficult, even if it could be a stipend event, to actually accept that. So that's just my personal preference. I want, the board to understand where I'm at.
I agree with you.
Well, nobody's going, so
not
we're not even going to vote on it. We just don't.
Well, I would make a motion that we accept item G3 because I'm going to luncheon.
Oh, you are going to
luncheon? Yes. I'm going to luncheon, but I'm not going to the meeting that would be paid a stipend for. I was invited to go, and I am going to go to that luncheon. I would like to go to that luncheon. That's why it's on the.
When you said you were going, I meant you were going.
I meant to the meeting that Bill was concerned about. I apologize.
That's
I'm sorry.
All right.
So I would make a motion that we accept item G3 as the luncheon portion of that, per the invitation, which I believe to be good for the board to have a presence there because of our MAC duties that we are responsible for, and for our relationship with the Board of Supervisors, who we worked under on some items.
Yeah. I'll second that.
Okay, that's fine. any other comments from the board? Any comment from the public? Hearing none. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
All right. Have a nice lunch.
Thank you. I don't want to shun them. I'm looking to think we don't like them or anything.
No comment.
Okay.
New business and H1, funding and consideration of allocation of funds associated with the purchase of the Discovery Bay Athletic Club staff.
Thank you, Mr. President, members of the board. As you know, we are currently in escrow. Anticipated closing date is sometime between the 5th and the 20th of February. The purchase price to the district is $810,000. The purchase price to the church is $390,000. And so what staff has been working with the community center subcommittee is to identify a method and different options on how to pay for the $810,000. And so what the committee and staff is recommending is that the community center the purchase of the athletic club be funded through $200,000 from the town's water and wastewater fund, $400,000 from Measure WW grant funds, and $210,000 from Zone 8 fund balance. That meets the $810,000. Since the district will be having, or it's intended that the district will be having district offices there, we believe that it's an appropriate allocation of funds for the $200,000 from the Water and Wastewater Fund. They're in the GEN report, in the middle of the report, the amount of funds that are available for the purchase are listed. And so we're just looking for a recommendation right now at this time.
You're taking $400,000 out of the grant, the grant fund. Now we actually have a balance of $469,000. I think that Zone 8, I mean, there's a lot of work that seems to be we're doing in Zone 8, and there's a lot of work that would be coming up. I would be in favor of maxing out the grant and take that money and take it away from the L8, Zone 8 amount. That's...
We discussed that at length, actually. And Farron Perez, the Parks and Landscape Manager, and I had a discussion about this. And the thought was, if we left it at $400,000, it still leaves approximately $68,000-$69,000 for some of those small projects that take place throughout the course of the year that we can get grant funding for. Maybe future, it can go into the future community center. But it's certainly at the board's discretion as to how you want to allocate those funds.
Where are the funds coming from for the projected pickleball court rehab?
Zone 8?
Yeah. Okay.
I agree with your wife. Yeah. I think you've laid it out pretty clear, right?
I'll move staff recommendation.
I'll second that.
Did that... I'm sorry. President Tetro was making a suggestion that it be $468,000.
At staff recommendation of 400.
His motion is staff recommendation.
I'm sorry. I have a quick question. I'm so sorry to interrupt that. I was trying to... Can I ask something here?
You can.
Oh.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay. I just wanted to be clear that...
Come up to the podium.
Okay. I just wanted to be clear that the WW grant money would not be coming back to Zone 8 in this fiscal year. I'm not sure. I tried to read through that real quickly. I didn't see that. So the $400,000 for WW that we're applying for, plus the 200 from Zone 8, is 600,000. So 600,000 would be funded from Zone 8 and then be reimbursed later next fiscal year. So we're taking 600,000 out of reserves. I didn't see that very clearly quickly as I looked through that. So I just want to make sure that was...
Smoke and mirrors, yeah.
Not intended. The Farron's right. We have to spend the money, and
first,
then we get reimbursed. Yes.
Okay. So it's going to be after July.
It'll be after July.
July. Okay.
Yes.
Just a point of clarification on the remaining funds in that one account, the $69,000. Is there any chance that we may lose those or miss that opportunity because funds of that nature would run out or would not be allocated to us?
I think the deadline is. You have to have all the projects by 2018. We have until 2018 to do the projects. And just so you know, these are funds, the WW funds, are funds that are earmarked per the grant, or per the ballot initiative that are allocated to Discovery Bay on a per capita basis. It's not a competitive grant in that sense. But we still have to meet their guidelines.
But it was a good point. We don't want to...
Yeah, no.
Miss a date or something.
Use it and don't use it and lose it.
Correct.
That's right. Okay.
Does your motion stay the same?
No. Yes.
Yeah, that's fine. Any other public comment? Please go forward.
Somewhat of a clarification, which I realize you don't have to answer, but I see we have the next item. Maybe I should have waited until the next item. We're going to put in an application to use the $400,000, which implies to me that there's some possibility that we'd be turned down on that. And if that's the case, what factors are going to be put into this application that are in line with what I understand is for parks? Mm-hmm. WW grant money, isn't that for recreation or park? Actually, it isn't any recreation. It's for parks, isn't it?
It's for parks, recreational activities. You always run a risk of not, in a competitive grant situation, much more significantly. However, they, WW, East Bay Regional Park District, requires an applicant to submit, requires an agency to submit an application. That application period is January 1 through March 31. We've discussed it with them recently. We do need to make sure, I mean, part of the application process, part of the requirements are that it can be used to purchase parkland, park space, so, and for recreational opportunities. And in fact, the next page on the agenda specifically spells some of that out. So it pretty much covers that.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Okay.
I didn't hear the second. I'm sorry.
Second. But you I moved. Yes, sir.
He made Kevin. Bill made the first.
Yeah. First.
I made the second.
Kevin made the second. Okay.
Okay, now we're going to go to item two.
I'm going to hand this one over to Farron Perez. This is the actual grant authorization to apply for the grant. Normally, this would have been a consent item for you, but we felt it was appropriate in this case to bring it to you because of the prior action. So I'm going to let Farron get into some of the details on this.
There's not too many details other than we're going to be applying for the grant. We've successfully done this in the past with the Cornell Park Playground project. We've been fully reimbursed for that project, went through that. It did take from start to finish about a year and a half. This is going to be a lot simpler. We don't have to go through finals on construction and all the approvals that we need to do to get that done, final payments, final approvals to the board. That's kind of what dragged up the first repayment of that grant. This one, like Rick had mentioned, we've already been in contact with the person in charge of this program, and we have submitted some preliminary documents to them for review. So far, we haven't received comment back, but the general discussion is that there aren't any huge red flags at this point in time, so we're pretty confident that the application will be successful also. Again,
yeah.
Can't guarantee anything.
But. Well, we've already done it once. So.
Yeah.
Yeah, we, like Farron indicated, before Christmas we had, was before or just after Christmas? I don't remember. I believe on the 26th I sent to the East Bay Regional Park District some of the preliminary documents that they requested so they could get a leg up on what we're looking at and get back to us if they had any issues. And they were there last week and we didn't hear back from them.
Okay, and I need a motion for that.
So moved.
Second.
Anything else?
I just have another item, so I just thought I'd save myself.
Oh, okay. She's waiting. Okay. Okay. In that case, any other public comment on this? Hearing none, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Okay. It's 5-0.
Mr. President, this is a point of order. Mm-hmm. We might want to ask for public comment before we start to make our motion and comment so the public can weigh in, and that might influence a decision or discussion that we might have. Just
that's
a
fine.
Procedural thing.
We used to do it, and we changed it, but yeah. It doesn't matter to me. We can do it either.
I think it's good for the public to hear it. Yeah.
Item three, staff.
I'm going to hand this over to Farron Perez. This is an introduction of an ordinance regarding rules and regulations governing our parks that we own here in town.
In 2011, the board here had approved and adopted a set of documents relating to use and rules at our parks, locally owned parks, which would be the Roberta Fest Hot Lot, I'm sorry, Ravenswood Park and Cornell Park. Cypher Park and Regatta Park are still owned by the county, so our rules and reservation policies do not apply there. When we went to, after these were adopted, it came to light that they weren't really enforceable. They weren't adopted as an ordinance or passed as an ordinance, and so while the county rules applying in the other parks under their ownerships are enforceable, the same policies and rules and regulations that we had passed in 2011 were not until they had become an ordinance. We researched not only the park rules and regulations that we put into place in 2011, but any additional that have been discussed in the meantime. For example, in our original park rules, there wasn't a no-smoking policy in the whole park. There is, you will see that in the park ordinances here. We've worked with legal to draft the attached ordinance, draft ordinance. Some of the highlights in that ordinance are in regards to motor vehicles being viewed or not used within the parks, how they, you know, no parking overnight. Dogs on leashes is a big one. No smoking, no alcohol. They're going to identify our parks as a drug-free zone. And then as a general conduct issues. And there's a new section, something that, again, we haven't had ordinances, but something we hadn't even done in our rules was that there's a violation section 11. So the Sheriff's Department would be able to cite any infractions, dogs off the leash, problems with any of these items on here with a $250 fine. We have researched that with other localities or in our area, other agencies, other cities, Mountain House, for example, very close, does similar things. They keep their fines the same across the board so that the sheriff does not have to think about what the fine is for this or that. It makes it a lot easier for them to enforce. So that's the biggest thing here tonight is that what these ordinances would do and make enforceable within our parks. So are there any general questions? Oh, I'm sorry. Was there a reading thing, something that...
Technically, what you're doing is you're introducing the ordinance.
Mm-hmm.
You have to follow the county ordinance procedures pursuant to the CSD law. At the introduction, you would have a reading of the ordinance, which would be time-consuming. Most municipalities in the motion will waive the first reading. So accept the introduction and waiving of the first reading, and then assuming that's the motion, then a vote.
Any public comment?
I have a question about.
If you want to speak, please come up to the podium. Thank you,
sir.
We're recording this. For
the only question I have is this half hour before. It seems like you're doing spending money on lights to be in the park, and it talks about not entering the park after.
And
I mean I don't go there after dark, but I just read it and I thought.
Do you want me to address that?
Yeah, please.
Okay. The lighting that we're putting in the park is more of a safety security lighting. It is not a complete pathway lighting. It's not designed for you to use the park at night. It's used for the sheriffs who have problems. They're also, the solar lights are set on dimmer switches. They're motion sensed, so they're very low lit until somebody walks through. The idea is that you're not walking through, and if you are, we see you. So they're not really a use light. You know, they're not for use.
Just a question.
Okay. Yes, sir.
What's the status of the parks being transferred to the...
I have a report on that.
All right, but we're doing all this stuff here. We're just trying to align with the county here, right? Are we adding extra stuff here? Or are we aligned?
No.
With
well,
the
ordinance, the way it's written is that this would apply to any of the parks that we owned, and so when they transferred, it would automatically apply. We would redo signage at those parks.
All right, perfect. Okay.
Which I think might clarify my question, which is exactly that. In we're purchasing new property. It's going to be have some park recreation as part of it. Are they by name or just properties that we own so it will cover whatever happens to occur in the future? Or do we have to go through another ordinance to include the community center?
The park is defined as parks, riding and hiking trails, recreation areas, community centers.
Perfect. There you go.
Property management.
Enough said. That's all I wanted to make sure we have to go through this process again.
And I have a second question about lights. Okay. Because when you buy the tennis club over here, they have lights. So how people pay to go there and they're members now and I don't know what it's
we don't want to address that. We haven't figured that out yet, so we'll just wait.
We don't own it yet.
Yeah.
Fine. Okay.
It's
There's I do want to say that there's exceptions in here. That mm-hmm. there's a lot of circumstances where it says except by permit by general sure. manager. So I mean as permitted, you know. So if the use is something sure. different, that's
we
allowed.
Could do. Yeah.
Okay.
I just had I just want a point of clarification from the finance side of this. It took approximately, I've been informed by Manager Howard, about $2,000 in legal time to kind of put all this together, which is fine. And we're asked to authorize an additional $500, and I'm assuming that that is going to take care of the publishing and all the necessary issues that go along with this. And
if you choose to pass this one, the $500 is for the publishing. And thank you for bringing that up, but I did not include legal fees into this. The legal fees that I typically ask for in a budget come from a different category. It's not something specific. I have it saved as a lump sum for the things that I need to do with legal staff through the year. So I don't assign it to specific projects. It's its own fund. If I needed additional funds from legal, if my legal budget was going over, for instance, then I would have put, you know, a request for additional legal funds in there, but because I have them elsewhere, this is additional money specifically for this project, for specific to this. And so I didn't add it, but I could in the future if that's how you'd like to see that. There will also be fees at the next, during the next agenda report. So no, this is not all the costs. So yes, there are legal fees, and there will also be signage fees. The signage fees would be, at this point, are not applicable until it's adopted. So if you guys, when we go to the adoption point, you would see the signage fees and what it would cost us to sign all our parks and put these ordinances up with the adoption phase of that.
Do you have an estimate on that?
Is
it $10,000?
No. No, I'd say around $1,000.
So you utilized your legal budget to take care of this particular ordinance.
Anytime, all of my legal fees go into one pot, and so right. I typically don't list them on my, like my payroll. I don't list my payroll in there also. It's a payroll item. It's in the same code. I don't list my time on here as a cost. And
well, not in this agenda item, but it shows up on invoices that we received that we have to approve.
Yeah, yeah.
Later, I think it's in the future. It might be helpful if we kind of get a ballpark number of, okay, if we're going to go forward with this, we're going to have X amount of signings or legal or whatever that is, so we kind of get a feel for that. That's part of the budgeting process, I understand.
I mean, that's the same thing. How detailed would you like to get? Would you like to know how much time I approximate to spend on it and what my time is, what my staff time is? I mean, because honestly, that's the full cost. I mean, so really I'm just trying to get, like, the hard process.
This is getting into
we
can talk about this at the workshop.
That'll be fine.
Yeah. I apologize, it's not all there. I'm not clear on
that. Well, it's not something we've done, and it doesn't say we can't do it, but
yeah. I'm the new guy. I get to ask the questions for a while.
You do.
I like the questions.
I would make a motion that we accept the draft and waive the first reading of the ordinance.
Thanks, sir.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Okay. Item 4, agency comment request.
Until the county determines what they're going to do with their home occupation use permit modifications, we're still receiving them. And this is a request for a home occupation use permit application by a Mr. Wilson. It is for a proposed business for tax service, the tax service business. It's on Topaz Court in Discovery Bay. There's a full attachment to the report, and it appears that there is a den in the home that they've identified that will be the office for this business operation.
Okay, go ahead.
I'm assuming in this case there's going to be a lot of walk-in traffic. They're going to be, I mean, you can't
appointments.
Say, yeah, they're, yeah. Going to, they're going to have cars parked along the streets and people lined up to come in and do their taxes. And I don't. You know, usually they say it's just for paperwork. I don't see how that could happen here.
That's what it sounded like to me. So
I would not be in favor of this one.
My only comment would be that I actually, my tax accountant runs her business in San Ramon out of her home, and she makes appointments, and I've never gone to her house and had anybody there. I don't wait in the street. She makes her appointments. I come in with my wife, and we park like as if we were there for coffee, and we leave again. So depending on how, I'm not really completely adverse to this, because if it's run, but we don't know that. But that's just the other side of the coin.
I personally don't have a problem with it either. I would like to encourage more entrepreneurship. I do have a concern, as Director Simon has, that they got five people in there and they're churning out taxes, 300 sets of taxes an hour, then we have an issue. But in a professional setting, I don't think there'd be an issue. If it got to that particular point, I think code enforcement would be on it along with the neighbors.
Seems like it's in Lakeshore. It's a property owner association.
Right.
Oh, is it in Lakeshore?
Yes.
Well, they can only get in by appointment. They can only get in through the gate. It's a secured facility?
Yes.
It's a gated facility, yeah.
I mean, if there's not a lot of traffic, obviously, I don't have a problem with it.
I would like to see our letter with just saying there is concern that there could be excessive traffic because appointments and, if there's somebody
parking
there, they'll go over their time, and there's other people that come in, and somebody comes in early, you could have three or four cars out there, and I don't think I would want that.
I
wouldn't like that around my house.
And the other thing of the guy who just parks across your driveway, because I'm just going to be there 5 minutes waiting to drop or something off.
Yeah. So I guess that's
when you got 10 people processing paper. And
I'd want to put in there its comments.
That's fine.
Public comment, please.
There I am again.
There you are.
Topaz Court is a street right behind where I live. I have a considerable amount of concern about parking and traffic on this particular project, because he's at the end of the cul-de-sac that's behind our property, and there isn't hardly any street parking in the vicinity of his house. Matter of fact, there isn't any, because the driveways are all there, and they'd have to actually park in his driveway. So again, I would appreciate the comments about the parking.
Yep.
and possibly traffic.
Mm-hmm.
Moreover, I've been talking to one of our board members. We have a homeowners association, and there was one of these last month. And apparently, neither one of these has come to the board as per our CCNRs.
Mm-hmm.
For approval of the homeowners association board. So they're quite adamant, the board, that something is wrong here in the way these things are being processed. So just to give you a heads up, you and probably the county will be probably receiving some correspondence from our board saying, hey, you gotta tell these people to go through us first.
That would
so
be
that
the
they
county.
Can put their comments.
It's a county.
Yes.
It's definitely the county.
Yeah, he goes to the county. I realize that.
Yeah.
But what it amounts to is they're going around us.
Yeah.
And as you say, we're a gated community. We'd rather have people not have, matter of fact, I think it's one of our CCNRs that they not have home offices.
So that in our literature, that this may be a violation of CCNRs, that they should refer to the homeowners.
Well, they can just contact our.
That's hearsay at this point.
Yeah, that's true. I'm not on the board, but I pretty much know that's what they would like to see, is some procedure where they get in the middle of this. In spite of the fact that county's trying to take everybody out of the comment process. More or less a heads up for you.
Mm-hmm. But I have a question on the parking. I can visualize the court and the pie shape, and everybody's at the end of it. Aren't there guest parking spaces somewhere on the street?
One side of our street allows parking, yes. So further up the street, they could park.
Yeah.
Towards the
high density.
Yeah. But they're probably fairly small lots, so not a lot of parking. But again, if it's one guy.
I think most tax services, if you're there for about 2 hours and you're gone, the next guy comes.
What Kevin said, I think, is the way it usually works.
I don't have anything more for you. Thank you.
Yeah.
my only comment would be, it seems like our concern here is about walk-in traffic. We don't know if this is a guy that goes out and gets his business, if he has a point home appointments and is working at his house or not. So I would just think that we should make these concerns in the letter that goes, that we're concerned about walk-in traffic in the facility. I mean, he could be a guy that goes out and does his appointments at their kitchen table. We don't, it didn't tell us that.
My concern is parking. So
of too much walk-in traffic.
Parking.
Yeah, walk-in traffic.
So is there a motion? That's in our letter. That's fine with me.
You want to make that motion?
Sure, I'll make that motion.
Or Kevin?
I don't want to make the motion. I'm kind of... Okay. I don't care.
No, you want to make the motion. Just go.
I don't really want it because I really don't know what motion I'm going to make, because last time I did this, I was wrong. So I
make
really
the motion you just said. I mean, actually...
Okay. I would give, is it a motion to the, I would make a motion to staff that they present, that they prepare a letter to go back to county addressing the concerns that the board has with regards to parking and walk-in traffic of a business of this type, and that would be the negative comments that we would have at this time.
Second.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
No, it's a piece of cake.
Okay.
All right.
I'm getting good at this. 3 years and I got it down.
All right. We're going to go down to I and presidents and directors. So I will just, the comment I have is just to thank the board for giving me the opportunity to be president again. I've done it a couple of times before. Three, actually. My goal is to run the meeting professionally and expeditiously as possible. And be
so pound that gavel and get us out of here.
That's right. That is the goal. So, and everybody in the audience, I hope you all had a great holiday. And are there any other director comments? Director Pease.
No, not this time.
No, I don't have any comments.
Looking forward to getting the community center plan to you guys.
Okay. And that we will then go to item J, manager's reports.
This is the Farron Perez show at this time of the evening.
Remember the expeditious part.
Yeah, there's no slideshow.
Okay. Thank you.
This is the inside of a pipe.
So, first an update on the county park transfers. We met with Special Districts Manager and Public Works Director on December 11th here in our offices. The meeting went well. We discussed options on the transfer, where we were with the inventory, what we completed already, and the options we had with taking partial versus full ownership of those districts. Right now, the way the task kind of laid out is that we were going to, us, the district, continue to work down the path we were, which is just assuming we're only going to be taking the park ownership, work on separating the budgets for Zone 57 and 61 between park and streetscapes for the next 5 years and lay that out. So I'm drafting that this week. The inventory gave us a great start for that, and I'm hoping to have that to them by the end of next week. They're researching some of the formation documents associated with Zone 57 and 61, which isn't within a greater landscape zone that they own. And the differences between that and the landscape zones that we own, Ravenswood, to see what the conflict is in us taking ownership of the full zone instead of having to, you know, piece it out. So we're both kind of working down two paths to make sure this keeps moving forward. Any questions on that before I move forward? Okay. The update on the landscape maintenance contracts, we do have two separate contracts. One which covers Zone 9, 35, 57, and 61, which is the west side of town. That contract just renewed with Odyssey that passed last month, and that will extend them through January 2014. It was a one-year extension. The contract for Zone 8 is set to expire June of the summer. We are going to release, or I plan on releasing that package for rebid. I'm still having some issues with contract compliance, not necessarily with landscape maintenance of, with the crews, but more along the lines of irrigation management, reporting, and proposals. I'm on my fourth account manager in 3 years there. So their overturn rate has been significant. There are a lot of ins and outs of this zone, which somebody kind of needs to be there and have an understanding of. So that we'll plan, we are planning to take that to bid or release that package probably in February. I did meet with their new account manager. I just was introduced to him before the holiday and discussed some of the hot points we have and requested some regular meetings during his first few months here. So we'll continue to work with them and kind of stay close hand on hand while their new management comes in. Any questions on that? Okay.
What's the status of them replacing the dead plants that we planted on the Sierra Boulevard? I mean, I would say...
We
put a bunch of stuff on the corners, and I noticed like half the plants were missing. It's like they died, they went away, but they didn't replace them.
Well,
I looked at pictures I've got, but when you guys finished it, and versus now, it's different.
On Highway 4
on Surrey Boulevard and specifically Sandpoint.
Okay, on this side of the road.
The north, the south, the west corner.
Okay. Yes, it is different. It is not the same. And we have had a loss of plant material in there. We will have a significant loss of plant material on every project we do, on almost every side of town we do. Same thing if you go down Vicks. Some of that is due to soil issues, drainage issues on that hill. I do not believe that side of the road to be because of irrigation negligence, because we manage that through the new clock we put in. And that got water all summer. Now the opposite side of the road, where they did do plant replacements, those are manually done irrigation clocks, mm-hmm. and those plants are extremely stressed out. A lot of them perished during this last summer, and they did do a number of replacements in that section. Did they do 100%? No. Could I prove that it was 100% irrigation negligence? I couldn't.
But I thought we had plants. I thought we were going to replace all the plants that died, and it hasn't happened.
In the sections that we identified.
On the Sturbank corridor, Boulevard corridor.
No, we identified a large report to them with, I think, 180 pictures.
Okay.
And there are specific areas which were identified that needed to be replaced due to irrigation negligence. Some of the areas needed to be cleaned up and dead plants removed, but I do not believe those plants have died on the other side of the boulevard due to their negligence.
Okay. So do we have plans to fix those or replace them?
We absolutely can. It's just not
the... year now. Okay.
Okay. Any other questions?
Not for me.
Not on that. Okay. And then the faded street signs. We went through our staff in the beginning of December and replaced approximately 40 signs. I believe it was 43 street signs throughout the community that were faded and not very... couldn't be read. So that project is completed. There were one or two streets which came to us from the county with the wrong street name, or you know, instead of saying way, it's a street, and so we have to have those redone. So
okay, that's something.
I think there's two or three.
And I saw Brandon once. I drove right down Sandpoint, and I went to my buddy's house. Said, "What happened to that sign?" And he said, "They never changed it." So now I know why.
Yeah. Okay. Any questions? Any other questions on? We have a number of projects going right now. We're in design. We're still working on the Highway 4 landscape improvements and working with Caltrans. We're currently going back and forth with design comments on the solar lights, the pickleball, and splash pad conceptual for Cornell. And
how about the treatment for those lawn areas? We use that natural chemical and something.
Yeah.
It looked great.
Yeah.
We went out there with the family and several times, and the grasses have changed, and you know, October, November, it looked great, so whatever you guys are doing.
It was fantastic. We actually wrote that, I'm glad you brought that up, that's a really good point. On the other side of town, where we just renewed that contract, one of those, and last month we had brought up that there was some contract adjustments. I actually rewrote that into the spec to use that product on the turf and the landscape on that side of town on the contract. We'll also rewrite this contract on this side of town to apply that. We're not getting rid of fertilizers, but we're substituting one regular fertilizer application, in some cases two, depending on turf or ground cover or tree, the difference
worked.
But it really was a successful.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Are we, before, on that same southwest corner standpoint, are we going to do some planting before summer, before the when the weather warms up in that corner where it's dead, a lot of planting on?
You're talking about the one Discovery Boulevard and South. Yeah. We can. It wasn't planned. It wasn't planned. Some of that is, it wasn't something I had on my schedule to do. It's not a long project. It can be done in 2 days. It's not a problem. We can, now that I know it's an
issue.
It just
looks better. I mean, it's, it looks so good when it was done. And when you go by it now with all the dead and the missing plants.
But what happened to it? It was
well, gorgeous. I really like to identify what the problem was, because there are significant, there's a number of the same species that survived and then some in patches that didn't. If you come down the boulevard coming right from Sandpoint, there's a huge drainage issue that we have with the homeowner there. And we've
it's
tried
terrible.
To call, yeah, and that's why a lot of the plants have died along that section.
The swimming pool leaking?
I can't tell you what it is. I don't know. We've tried to identify that, and we've put in two different drain lines into our landscape area to try to accommodate that, but it continues to be a problem. We've contacted Recreation, because it's not, I mean, it's their levee, and so it's just something that we need to follow up on.
It's like 30 foot wide.
It is, yeah. So.
Okay.
Perfect, thank you.
So you believe that possibly it's Rec 800 having
it's,
a...
It would probably, I mean, it's affecting our plantings
right.
there, but we had to do an agreement with them just to plant there. It's their levee, so if it was going to be enforceable by anybody, it, you know, for them to do something, to, you're not supposed to drain into a landscape area like that. If you're going to drain a pool or you're going to, you know, have...
Right. Do you feel it would be helpful if the board sent a letter to the Rec 800 board to ask them to look into it?
do I think it would be helpful? It probably would get some response.
I'm not sure if it would be helpful.
I'm not sure. I mean, maybe...
Well, I mean, an issue is an issue. I mean, if the guy can't...
We have a pretty good relationship with Jeff Conway over there. And Farron and I, or Farron, can certainly go over there and touch base with him and discuss the situation. And if we don't get any resolution to it, then maybe we take a different approach.
Now, we're...
A secondary
maybe I don't know what section we're talking about. The levee. Right at the corner?
So the southwest corner of Discovery Boulevard and South Point... Heading south, right up to the right.
You're talking about behind Shipley's house?
Maybe about 100-200 feet.
Behind Mike Shipley's house?
There. I'm not sure.
Sandpoint, that's across from Willow Lake.
Is that what we're talking about, Rick?
When we started the
project. Yeah. Sandpoint's the other. Right at the corner where we planted. Okay, that's a levee?
Yeah.
It is, yeah. It's a super levee.
All right. All right, so we know where
to do. All right.
Let's move on.
Yeah, that's fine.
Okay.
You guys talk to Rick and see if we
right here, right.
come up with something.
Yes. The next one.
A little farther
right
down that house.
Right
yep.
there.
It's the same. You've been having problems with this forever.
Yeah.
Same one. Nothing's changed.
Yeah. We've discussed it. I mean, we've discussed
I mean, I'm not saying you haven't tried. I'm just saying we haven't found a solution.
I mean, we put in extra drainage. We put in drainage during the project, and we put drainage in after the project to try to alleviate some of the saturation there, and neither one was... hugely successful.
So.
I need a water meter.
Big pool.
Okay, thank you.
Constantly changing.
All right.
The water because it doesn't start from the water.
General manager's report?
Nothing this evening.
Yes. Very good. District legal?
Nothing, sir.
Thank you. Okay. Any committee updates? Hearing none.
Yeah, the community center subcommittee. We're working on getting estimates and getting a proposal to you guys for what it'll take to fix the athletic club.
Okay.
And operating. Have an update next week.
Any other?
Nope.
Okay. Very good. Okay. Correspondence. Any comments on the correspondence? Hearing none. We have two public requests received. Any future agenda items?
Not that I can think of at the moment.
Not for me at this moment.
Okay. In that case, thank you for coming. We're adjourned.
Thank you.